It's always great to be here. It's always great when I have an opportunity to take the Dharma seat. And it's really just a real pleasure. Just a little bit about what we'll do. We'll sit together for about 30 minutes. And then we'll just take a couple of minute break to move a minute. And then I'll give a small talk and then open it up for questions and answers and our shared wisdom. And I hope that that works for everyone. I do want to encourage you to take care of your body and your mind. And as we're sitting meditation, feel free to turn off your camera, turn away from the camera, do what feels comfortable to you. And also, you know, if you need to get up and go to the bathroom, get up and go to the bathroom, please. And with that, I'll invite us to now just kind of find a comfortable position with your body and something that you can just settle into that feels supported, that feels stable. And as you settle into your body, I invite you to just notice your senses and your sense gates. And I would encourage us now to pick a sense gate that we can rest on, that we can return to as our minds think and we get distracted. We could just rest gently on some sensory awareness. For some people, it's the feel of their feet on the floor, and their butt in the chair. Maybe it's a smell or a sound. Other people find their breath. Just something that you don't have to control and that we can return to. And we can rest our attention gently. I invite you to allow yourself to settle in. See if you can let go of any distractions or worries. Can you release any tension that's in your body that you notice? Invite us to just rest in our experience of this moment. Allowing our sense experience to open us up to this moment. There's no need to worry about our thoughts. They will arise and they'll pass away of their own accord. Minds are meant to think. It's what they do. And I just allow them to arise and pass away. And just for a moment, let go of my need to respond, my need to do, perform, produce. I allow myself some ease and comfort. Just this moment. Returning to our sense experience. returning your awareness to our sensation, to our sensescape. I invite us to consider, what's it like to be me at this moment? Not my opinion, not my expectation, but my experience. What's it like to be me? And I allow that question to resonate as I begin to open up my awareness. And I notice my body, the space I'm in. Who I'm sharing that space with. Maybe we open our eyes. Just notice. Thank you for your practice. I invite you now to just take a few minutes. Let's see. Why don't we take 3 minutes to just move a little bit, maybe run to the bathroom if we need to, drink some water. So I want to start my talk today with a translation from the Dalai Lama of the prayer of Shantideva. May all beings everywhere, plagued by sufferings of body and mind, obtain an ocean of happiness and joy. By virtue of my merits, may no living creature suffer, commit evil, or ever fall ill. May no one be afraid or belittled with a mind weighed down by depression. May the blind see forms and the deaf hear sounds. May those whose bodies are worn with toil be restored on finding repose. May the naked find clothing, the hungry find food. May the thirsty find water and delicious drinks. May the poor find wealth. Those weak with sorrow find joy. May the forlorn find hope, constant happiness, and prosperity. May there be timely rains and bountiful harvests. May all medicines be effective and wholesome prayers bear fruit. May all who are sick and ill quickly be freed from their ailments. Whatever diseases there are in the world, may they never occur again. May the frightened cease to be afraid and those bound be freed. May the powerless find power and may people think of benefiting each other. I was thinking this morning actually about my life, as I want to do often when I'm starting to think about what I want to talk about. And I was thinking about what are the things that are important to me and where did they come from? And I actually have this translation posted in my kitchen over my stove that I often am looking at it as I'm cooking, as a way to kind of nourish my mind as I prepare to nourish my body. But I have a particularly queer take on it because I think of it not as goals to be obtained or something that I can fulfill, but instead I really think of it as what it is that I want to orient myself towards. What is it that I'm doing in my life? I think the great thing about Buddhism, and particularly Buddhist stories, whether it's the story of the Buddha's life, or it's the story of our bodhisattvas or Shantideva or whoever, Nagarjuna, I don't know that the people of those stories are what's important as much as the stories are. That the stories are used to help us meet our life and propel us into practice, to dive more deeply into it. And what I think Shantideva is asking us to do is to orient ourselves in the world in service, to recognize the interconnectedness of my life to your life, of my existence to all existence. You know, when we think about what it means to have no self, when I first started to practice, that was really upsetting to me because I worked really hard to develop an identity as a queer person. And I kept hearing these teachers talk about no self and how that wasn't real, that it was somehow illusory or it didn't matter. What I found is that that's actually a misunderstanding of what anatta means. What the Buddha's teaching actually says is that there is no self that is independent and unchanging. And so whether it's my queerness, my any other sort of identity markers that I have, those are very real, but they're connected to other beings. I am a white, queer, cis male, and that's my experience of the world and how the world sees me and perceives me. And it's not that that's not real, but what starts to happen as I start to look at how it is that I want to be in the world as a white, queer, cis male, I want to be connected. I want to be part of a community. I want to be part of a sangha. I want to be of service. I want to bring joy and ease to the rest of the people that I'm connected to. And so we sit down on a cushion and we begin to look at those things in our experience that make us us. And can we see how that is deeply embedded and connected with the other people around us? My maleness, my masculinity is deeply embedded in the society that surrounds me. My whiteness is deeply embedded. My queerness is deeply embedded. I cannot experience anything that doesn't have to go through that lens. And so to be responsible for that, I then have to start to think about the ways in which that's connected and the ways in which I want that to be connected to the beings around me. I want to let go of the toxicity that maybe I was socialized into and begin to pull apart those strands of dishonesty that get embedded in our lives through our parents and through churches and through schools and through all of the things, so that my queerness is a celebration. So that my maleness is a celebration. My whiteness is a celebration, not a burden. And I think Shantideva gives us a unique opportunity to think about how it is we want to be in the world. I want to bring joy. I want to heal people. I want people to find liberation. Now, the thing to understand, so Shantideva's from the 8th century, and he wrote this thing that's often translated as the path of the Bodhisattva, or entering the way of the Bodhisattva, or numerous different ways to think about it. But if we think about what Bodhisattvas are, right, but at the core, Bodhisattvas are beings that have made a vow to delay liberation until all beings are liberated, right? So what does that mean? How do I bring liberation to all beings when I'm just a dude, right? Like I get up in the morning and, you know, feed myself, wash myself, have to drink water, all of the things, right? And yet, I want to live in such a way that I can save all beings, that I can help all beings find liberation. And sometimes that means recognizing that my existence is deeply embedded with all beings, that I exist not just with you, but because of you. I work with chaplains and train chaplains, and one of the things that I often tell them is to remember that chaplains only exist because there are people suffering. That our job only happens because there's somebody in the hospital or in a prison or wherever we're doing our work. It only happens because there are people who need us there. We exist because of those people. As a teacher, I exist because of students. Like, I could sit on Zoom and talk to myself and it would be great, I think, because I think I'm awesome. But it doesn't really change anything, right? It's not until we all gather together and our collective wisdom begins to shape the words that come out my mouth. So that I'm not just giving the talk, we're giving the talk. And I think as queer people, the greatest gift we have to offer is the recognition that we exist with people. We have community. Despite all of the things that we have gone through as a people, we have existed throughout time and space. And I think it's particularly because of what we understand community to be, which is what Shantideva is calling us to look at. How do I want to be in community? And what does that look like in my day-to-day life? I wake up every morning, I sit meditation, and then I do a well-being ceremony. And then I have coffee. And after my coffee, I go take a shower. And then I hop on a bus, probably, unless I'm not working. And I go to wherever it is I'm supposed to be working. But all throughout that process, I have these moments where I can deeply feel the embedded nature of our shared experience. As I was drinking my coffee this morning, I turned on the radio and I heard about a young person who committed suicide. And I heard people expression of the effect of that. And it made me cry because I just thought, wow. One, that's a lot of suffering. But also, like, wow, to be that loved. And not know it. Or not be able to feel it or not let it register. And so then, as I was going throughout my day, I started to think about noticing the places where I'm loved. My natural tendency is to notice all the places I'm unloved, all the places I'm lonely, all the places I'm isolated. But today I was really intentional about noticing all of the places that I'm loved and connected and deeply embedded in not just the community here, but this global community of practitioners, of people who want to find some connection to an honest experience of truth, who want to have moments of liberation. So we ask ourselves, what's that experience of liberation going to look like? What is Shanti Devas asking us? By virtue of my merits, may no living creature suffer, commit evil, or ever fall ill. May no one be afraid or belittled with a mind weighed down by depression. Now, I don't know whether or not I'll be able to bring that to some kind of fruition every day, in every moment. But that's the thing about vows, especially in Buddhism. Our vows in Buddhism aren't rules. They're not laws. They're not demanding that we achieve them. The fact is, most of the time we can't. I vow not to kill, but I exist in a world in which farming kills things. I'm walking down the street and you step on things and and I live in a world in which I make mistakes and I kill people's spirits or dreams, or people kill my dreams. Knowing I'm not going to fulfill a vow allows me to live it and understand it on a daily basis, because then I have to look at, what does it mean for me today to live so that the virtue of my merits mean that no one has to suffer? And some days I get really good at it, and other days I don't. And on the days I don't, I make amends where I have to, and then I just get up and I try it again. In Zen, we like to say that liberation is an appropriate response. So where are the places of appropriate response in your life? Can I start to see the places where I'm loved? Can I start to experience the world as I'm experiencing it, in the moment that I'm experiencing it? What are your vows? What are you living out? If vows are merely our deepest intention, how do I live that out? How do I connect to that so that it can be the thing that propels me, the thing that reminds me that I only exist because of you, and that I'm never not changing? Even my queerness is never not changing, because I'm always learning deeper and deeper meanings behind what it means for me to be queer. And to walk in the world queerly.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.